Well, this Sunday's liturgy practically screams at us to rejoice, to be joyful. It is Gaudete Sunday, and in Latin, that word is not a suggestion, something to do when and if it suits us. Grammatically, it's a command. All of you, rejoice. At first glance, it can sound a little bit like the message we get every year around Christmas time, when we are exhorted at each turn to be of good cheer. Add some liberal spending patterns to your happiest season, and you've got the holiday spirit that we're told to get into. And those who fail to strike the harp and join the chorus risk being called, in descending order of gravity, the Grinch, Mr. Scrooge, or worst of all, George Bailey's nemesis, Mr. Potter. We are a Christmas people, and fa-la-la-la-la is our song. Now, as my vestment choice suggests, I have nothing against joy or rejoicing or even a bit of whimsy. But all the same, this third Sunday of Advent calls us, orders us, in fact, to a kind of joy that is more than just seasonal cheer, as good and as needed as that may be. What our liturgy today sets before us is the call to rejoice even as we wait, and more challenging still, to rejoice even as we wait in darkness. The term Gaudete is drawn from Paul's letter to the Philippians, which is the second reading and the opening antiphon of today's Mass. Here it is again. Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul says. I shall say it again, rejoice. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Now, in our age of anxiety, we might be tempted to scoff at this. Easy for you to say, Paul. But he was in prison when he wrote those words, and he presumed correctly that he would never be released. He expected, again, correctly, that his captivity would end in his death. He had plenty of reasons for anxiety and very few for rejoicing. Yet here he is, encouraging the Christians in Philippi, who themselves were enduring a time of hardship, encouraging them to rejoice even as they and he waited in darkness. We don't hear from the prophet Zephaniah very often, but he too is emphatic about rejoicing. Shout for joy, O daughter Zion, he says. Sing joyfully, O Israel. Be glad and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The precise audience of his prophecy is difficult to determine, but biblical scholars tend to rally around two options. Neither one is particularly rosy. The first is that Zephaniah was speaking before the fall of Jerusalem at a time of political, religious, and social upheaval. The second is that he was addressing those in captivity in Babylon. Like Paul, those exiles had little reason to rejoice. Their temple and their homes had been destroyed, and they would wander far from their homeland for more than two generations. Whichever is his precise audience, Zephaniah is telling his hearers to shout for joy, even as they are waiting in the greatest possible darkness. Then, as now, waiting and joy are not an obvious pairing. Just think about all the things in our everyday lives that are organized around our not having to wait. Self-checkout, my favorite, and Easy Pass, TSA pre-check, priority boarding, and global entry, two-day shipping. Shout a command at a tiny disc, and the lights come on right away. No more darkness. Tap a screen, and a car is waiting. Now, these are good things in themselves, except when the Uber is parked in front of the rectory. All the same, this immediacy can make the invitation, really the command of Advent, to wait and to wait in joy, hard to hear and harder still to live. These days, how long we wait is a measure of our social standing. The less time we spend in line, the more important we are. And this means, as the poet and priest John McNamee puts it bluntly, that it is the poor who wait. It is the poor who wait. When the season of Advent asks us to wait, it asks us to feel the real, uncomfortable, and unavoidable poverty that is part of every human life. For many, this poverty is material, and it's felt acutely at this time of year. You know that. You see it in the gifts that you've brought to Mass today. But for all of us, this poverty is spiritual. It encompasses our limitations and our vulnerabilities, our emptiness, and even our darkness. We encounter these in places that we try very, very hard to avoid and would rather not think too much about. When we ourselves or someone we love is sick or suffering or dying, and we must wait for clarity, healing, or some form of relief. When we yearn for our broken hearts to mend after any loss. When we feel those twin pangs of regret and resentment. When we come up against things that are out of our control, and we realize that most things are. These are the poor spaces in all of our lives, in all of our hearts, where all we can do is wait and pray. Advent asks us to inhabit those poor spaces, not out of masochism, but out of honesty. We need a savior still. Our darkness calls out for light still. This broken world, this broken church is in need of healing still. If today's liturgy tells us to be joyful, it is not despite those realities. We are never called to a pious amnesia about the real world. It is rather because we have been promised that Savior, that light in our darkness, that healing for what is sick and broken. And every week we come here and say together that he has come into this world and will come again. Perhaps more challenging to believe, as Paul and Zephaniah say today, is that he is already near, in our midst. He is coming into this moment of our lives, or trying very hard to do so. Coming this mundane, drizzly Sunday morning, in the darkest days of the year. We will meet him around this table, and as long ago, we will find him also among those who have the greatest need of him, the unfortunate, the destitute, the sinful. We will find him in our own lives, in our own homes, in our places of work, but not where we are strong, where we are weak, not where we are full, but where we are empty. And we will find him, yes, in the joys, some of them big, many of them very small, that reach us even as we wait in darkness.